Let us begin with the negative attitudes to the cross. Generally speaking, there are three negative attitudes: Jewish, secular, and anti-religious, atheistic. Of course, the Jewish attitude is well known, and it is indeed natural for them, because though they claim today that they are not responsible for what was done 2,000 years ago, and even Christians now try to help the relationship with them by lifting them of that guilt and of that responsibility, but the fact is that the religious teaching and life of the Jewish people even today is based on the rejection of the very idea of the cross. And therefore, they do not like even to see it, because it reminds them of something which they definitely reject. Now, the secular world is not very far from that, though it is not definitely connected with kind of a religious attitude, but it is simply, especially modern world, doesn't like the even people who are originally brought up as Christians. They just do not like the whole conception of a sacrifice as the necessity for some kind of goodness. And therefore, they do not like it. That's why, for instance, it is now not allowed to be displayed, for instance, in the state schools, let alone to say the prayer. And the third is very negative, and I personally encountered that in the communist prison when the cross was taken from me by force, you know, and just thrown out. And this is, again, I would say, something irrational, something which is based on a religious quality, to put it that way, of emotion. Though they call it anti-religious, but in fact, it is not rational. And therefore, it is really belongs to the phenomenon which we usually classify as religious. Anti-religious or religious, but it is the same attitude of a human faculty. And this, of course, is not only because of the cross, like the Jewish and the secular world would do, but also because it reminds them of God's existence at all. And they do not like it. And that is why there is, and was, especially until recently, such a problem for people who were wearing the cross and baptismal cross in the Soviet Union or in any communist country. But this is what is not Christian. But what is strange sometimes is to see that there are Christians who also reject the cross. And of course, that rejection is of a different kind. It is not like the other three. It is based on more, I would say, positive attitude. Of course, they do not reject the whole idea of the cross as such, if they are Christians, because they accept the crucifixion of our Lord, and they believe in the atonement, interpreting sometimes in their own way, theologically, but at any rate they do not reject this idea. But they would not have a cross, for instance, on the top of their church, though the architecture of the church, as they inherited it, is done in such a way that it must be the cross over it. But they sometimes put something different, something else, sometimes just a cockerel to remind the rejection of Peter, and so on, but not the cross. Why? Because for them, the cross, if we have it as we do in veneration, is a kind of idolatry. And therefore, you cannot do it. This is against the commandment of God when it was stated to Moses that nothing should be placed as for any kind of veneration, let alone worship. Sometimes the other churches, Christian churches, which venerate the cross, but still they have some attitude to it which other Christians who disagree call morbid, a black cross, a cross which is only the suffering itself, emphasizing the Good Friday, but forgetting psychologically the Easter. The cross is just only that. Well, I deliberately started with that kind of introduction, because if we speak about the cross in the Orthodox faith and of the theology of the cross, then we shall have quite different picture. Totally different. Because the cross in our theology is not negative in any sense. The theology of the cross comes to us from the Holy Fathers. And one of the best explanations of that theology comes to us from St. Gregory of Nyssa in his catechisms. Though, of course, many other fathers also deal with that problem, with that subject, and expound it. Among modern theologians, according to what I know, the best modern explanation of theology of the cross was done by, at that time, very young, a modern theologian and Russian thinker of the early 20th century, almost our contemporary, Father Paul Florensky, who ended his life in 1943 in one of the terrible labor camps of Stalin as a martyr. And indeed, he is a new martyr, and many people today in Russia venerate him, though he is not officially canonized, but among many uncanonized martyrs, he is venerated by more and more by Russian believers. And more, his theology finds its way even in the official publications of the Moscow Patriarchate. He is really now one of the leading theologians, philosophers, and scientists, because he was a great scientist, apart from anything else, a great mathematician, and a specialist on electricity, and developed quite importantly some of the electrical plants in the Soviet Union after the revolution, when there was no possibility for him to continue his theological activity, when all the theological schools were closed down. And he was forced by the authorities to renounce his priesthood and his theology, and he did not, and therefore he was eventually, in spite of being a great scientist, recognized by them, and a great philosopher, which was dubious for them, but because of his theology, because of his faith, and because of his uncompromising attitude, he was, in spite of all that, at a loss for them, sent to a labor camp and lost his life by just working physically, and at one point he was accidentally killed by a tree which was cut and was falling, and he was there and just was killed. Well, I mentioned this story because this is relevant not only for the understanding of our faith, the cross in our faith, our theology of the cross, but also when we shall be speaking later of the cross in our life, because that is the perfect example of application in one's life of one's beliefs. Deep and very, very clearly exposed theologically. The cross in the Orthodox liturgical life, as you probably all know, is mentioned alongside with Our Lady and with the saints and with holy archangels at certain prayers, and also at the dismissals on certain days. And though we speak about the prayers of Our Lady and of the saints, but together with them we say by the power of the Holy Cross. And even some prayers, such that we in these prayers address ourselves to the cross, like the prayer which is in the evening prayers before we go to bed, let God arise. And there is also the prayer to the cross itself. O Holy Cross, help us. What does that mean? I remember an Orthodox bishop in my young days was discussing that, and he, without explaining anything, but he simply said, we must say to people who do not realize and do not know that we actually have in our liturgy such attitude, and we shouldn't put it, so to say, away. It is there, we do it. And when come the elevation of the cross, then we venerate it, and indeed there is some kind of a mystical link between us, our prayers, our liturgical life, and the cross. Now, why? Because the Holy Cross is the image of the Holy Trinity, is the icon of God Himself. And the Holy Cross is venerated by the Orthodox Church essentially and originally, not because it was the way our Lord was put to death, but just the opposite. According to the words of our Lord Himself, when he spoke about the way he was going to die, you remember in the Gospel of St. John, and then St. John says, and he said that because, he said that because he wanted to show by which way he is going to die. And he himself said that according to the scriptures it was the way he was to die. So it is just the opposite. Because the cross is the expression of the divine life, because the cross is the physical iconography of the divine principle, that is why it so happened historically, and so happened that it was just a kind of a special way of execution in the Roman Empire, that it was brought to be the source of our salvation and suffering of our Lord. So it is not negative, not because it is the cross which brought death to our Lord that we venerated, of course, also, yes, but it's not the primary, but just the opposite, because it is not negative, but positive. Now, in what way? We can understand it, according to St. Gregory of Nyssa and according to Father Florensky, this meaning only if we remember that we are looking at that from the world which is fallen, that we are all fallen, and therefore we cannot understand what is the essence of life, the essence of everything in the world which is not fallen, in the world which we call sometimes, as in the Bible, Garden of Eden, or Paradise, or as it is in the New Testament, the Kingdom of God, or Kingdom of Heaven. The world which is the other world. Now, the life there is something which cannot be grasped by us, because we are having on in ourselves, in our own nature, in our own life, in the world as it is, in the principles of this world, we have something which is in many ways totally opposite to the world which is unfallen, to the world which is divine, to the world which we call heaven. What is that? Wall of partition. We all have walls of partition which divide us from each other. We are divided. We are not really able, finally, fully, completely, except, that we shall speak later, except in a special experience of divine life. But normally, naturally, or better to say, unnaturally, because the nature was not created that way, we are divided to such an extent that we cannot understand each other, we cannot see each other, we built our life on the principle of that division. Division which even within ourselves, division between our own faculties, division between myself and myself, both in our expression at one point and also in the sequence of points, so in space and time, in the process of our life. We are different from what we were yesterday. We are divided from what we were yesterday. And we are different from what we have in our mind, what we have in our heart, what we have in our will, sometimes it all goes into something which is not balanced. And of course we know that the real source, the real cause of all mental disabilities, of all psychological problems and difficulties and illnesses is there. And the restoration of unity within ourselves and the restoration of unity with each other is the only way to heal ourselves and is what we know in our life, in our church, as the goal, as the purpose of all our liturgical life, of everything. Now, the cross is the principle which is in our world, and that's why it is taken as an image, as an icon taken from this world. The cross is the principle which is just opposite to that. You cannot build a house without the cross. You have to put things together, you know, in order to build it, to have it. By that I don't mean that there is a cross everywhere, but it is just junction itself. The junction is the principle of that kind of coming together, of separate things coming together, not the wall of partition, but to come together. And that is something which is the principle even of our biological life. Because what is life biologically according to modern science? It is metabolism, it is the coming together of various elements of matter which are in junction, in complete coming to the one and the same purpose, though they are still separate, but as they come into this metabolistic process, they suddenly become joined together and perform jointly action which eventually becomes life. And so it is even in the fact of procreation, which is possible only when it comes together. And that is why in our life and in our church, marriage is also the great symbol and great picture used by our Lord of the kingdom of heaven. And that is why it is blessed in our church by the cross. There is other side of it, which we shall speak later. But initially and essentially, it is the cross as junction, as coming together, as totally destroying the wall of partition, that we really come to the building up of life, of family, of children, that love is actually the presentation which is given in the Holy Cross. Now this is the life of God Himself. The Holy Trinity is the love, divine love, which is never, never centered on oneself. And though it is not an annihilation of a person at all, but it is the unity in such a way that it is really becoming absolutely one, three in one, one in three. Now the cross is just that, as in our liturgical prayers sometimes we hear that it is the representation of the Holy Trinity, you know, one, two, three, joined together in the junction itself. That is the graphical, so to say, iconographic presentation of that Trinitarian relationship, of that Trinitarian love, which is totally and completely becoming the victory of that oneness. Even the word unity is not enough to say it's oneness, one God. And if we explain it and turn to our own human psychology, then we shall be able to see the meaning of that Trinitarian love and of that Trinitarian junction into one, which the cross represents graphically. I, thou, to use the ancient and ecclesiastical term, and you, he, she, they. Do we have in any language of any nation in a grammar a fourth person? No. Of course we have plural, but even plural is third person. I, thou, you, he, she, they. This is the essential Trinitarian relationship of human beings. It is implanted in us. We cannot do otherwise. And this is something which essentially distinguishes us from the rest of the world, from the animal world. That kind of psychology. And this is a very important to understand, that love, if it is only of two persons, and if it is only these two persons, then it is always a love which is enclosed. There is a need to have relationship with the third. If you do not have that, then you end up in that kind of being only I and you, you and I and nothing else, and then eventually you are in trouble, psychological and otherwise. And of course, if it is only one and no second and no third, and there is, as you know, such ideas about God, that God is not Trinity, but God is just only one person, then of course there is no divine love at all there. Before creation, at any rate. But even creation cannot be really in full love if there is no love in God himself. So that is the main point of the Holy Fathers, especially of Cappadocian theology. And that means that in God, that love which is expressed, Father is expressed himself in the Son, and that is the whole idea, human idea, but reflecting the divine, being the only begotten, the Son of God, the Son, the wisdom, the word, the image of God the Father in love. And that the Holy Spirit, as St. Athanasius the Great says, is the image of the Son, because it is the image of that love, of that generation of the Son from the Father, as reflected in the Holy Spirit, which St. Athanasius says is actually the meaning of the procession of the Holy Spirit. By the way, this is an answer to the whole story of Filioque, but we're not going to talk about it now. And that is that relationship, that wonderful love of the Father and the Son, which is in the third expressed in total giving themselves to each other, is the third, the Holy Spirit, who, according to St. Augustine in the West and St. Gregory Palamas in the East, is the love of the Father and the Son, the love itself, personified, personal. Now, the cross is the picture of that. Because the cross represents that kind of oneness, of junction of the three in such a way that it is not three separate, not three having wall of partitions, but one. And everything which we have in our world is based on that cross as well. Positive. That which belongs to the fallen world, to the sinful world, to all the problems of which we read every day in the newspapers and see on the screen of the television and so on today, and all these attempts to come to disarmament, to build up peace and so on, all that is something which is absolutely alien to the cross, to the principle of the cross, because the cross is that unity, that everything is together. And indeed, therefore, the cross for us is the living image of God. When we venerate the cross, we in fact, as the Council, the Ecumenical Council said about iconography generally, we actually, through the cross, we venerate God Himself. Cross is simply the image of that which we venerate. Just as the icon of our Lord is only the image of the one whom we venerate. Or even can say that we, the original, we worship. Through the cross, which we venerate, we worship God the Holy Trinity, and the principle of divine love, divine unity, and the principle of the world as it is created, and the world as it is being restored, recreated. That is why the cross is so important for us to be as a crown of our churches, as the sign of our prayer, and we always say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and Holy Spirit. The cross, the sign of the cross is always Trinitarian. And during the liturgy, any kind of liturgical action or words, when we say, glory be to the Father, we make sense. Is Trinitarian. Whenever there is an exclamation with the Holy Trinity in work, we make the sign of the cross. That is how the Orthodox Church sees it. That's how the Orthodox Church venerates it. That's the meaning of it. And indeed, the actual use of that cross in the death of our Lord, who came into this world in order to save the world, and that is to bring into this world that principle of divine love instead of that division and sinful party and struggles and envies and hate and all the rest, precisely because of that died on the cross. And because of that, and that is the other side of this, we venerate the cross as the means of our salvation after the fall, as the means of the atonement, as the means of the restoration, apokatastasis, according to St. Gregory of Nyssa, of bringing everything back. And everything, meaning everything which is worthy, which is possible to be restored. And therefore, essentially, the restored world, the world of a resurrection, the world which is portrayed in the last chapter of the Revelation of St. John, is the world of the cross. But that is why the one who died on the cross for our salvation rose again. That's why the cross is not just the black cross, not just the cross of the Good Friday only. The cross is also the symbol of resurrection itself, because it is in the resurrection Christ is again with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, and he says, I will send to you the Holy Spirit from the Father. It is coming back to that which the cross means and signifies. Through the death on the cross, it's becoming the resurrection in the cross and for the cross. Understood positively. That is why in the Orthodox Church we have the cross bright, golden, silver, or any kind of picturing it in various colors and so on, with sometimes precious stones and all this, because that means the resurrection. In the ancient Celtic religious art, and by the way, the Celtic Christians were Orthodox, and they were at that time, of course, there was not yet division between East and the West, but they also were very much having the traditions taken from the came, as you know, from the East, but also they always had the contacts with the East, Eastern monasticism, especially the famous island of Iona near Scotland, where was St. Columbus. They were in contact, direct contact with the monasticism of the Middle East, and they brought it, the ideas, and so that their cross, their typical, is the cross with which is having a symbol of the sun, symbol of the resurrection, so that the cross is always the portraying not only the death of Christ but also the resurrection. What for us is the golden cross and the ornamented cross, for them, for the Celts, was that kind of presentation of the sun as a symbol of the resurrection. So the cross for us is only positive. And even the tragic death, tragic in the sense of our world, of course, the tragic death of Jesus on the cross was, in fact, not something which is for the destruction, but just the opposite. For the restoration. The cross is the restoration, even in that sense. That is why when we have the day of the Holy Cross, the exaltation of the Holy Cross, then we have the one and the same, as almost in one word, so to say, one sentence, we say we venerate the Holy Cross and glorify thy resurrection, as we are going to do it and to sing it tonight. Well, this is the cross in our faith. This is what the Orthodox Church believes. don't worry, this is my doctor reminds me that I have to take a pill. And it's just as well, because it's also a sign that I'm talking too long. It's a very interesting invention, modern technology. You see? All I have to do is just to open
it. The priest will get one for a Christmas present.
Thank you. At one point that happens in sanctuary, and our dean, Father Dimitri, said, well, somebody wants you to go to telephone. He thought it was like doctors, you know, when they're called. Well, it is 1:15, yes, okay, and this shows that it was all right. Okay, then from 1:15 to 1:30 we have a little break. Is it a silent break or just a break?
Just a break.
Just a break. So you can even sing if you like.